right. She'd met Gemma at a cafe shortly after escaping from her second bout with hell. When she'd left the dregs of the trailer park, she'd thought she'd left that nightmare behind. A few years later, she found out that hell came in many forms, and the trailer park hadn't looked quite so bad. She hadn't returned, though. She'd been broken, not stupid. Pushing those dark thoughts away, she cut the engine. Untrusting of the cachectic, shirtless dude standing across the street, holding the chain of a vicious-looking barking dog, she shoved the designs into her bag and slipped the strap over her head and across her body. A barrier. As small as that thin strap was, anything separating the person she'd become from the mother who bore her was worth its weight in gold. She made one last sweep of her car, searching for anything theft-worthy. The 2010 Ford Fusion might not be much, but it was hers. Her eyes caught on the colorful worry doll hanging on her rearview mirror, a gift from her father. He'd made it out of twigs, fabric, and yarn when she was 8, and he'd given it to her the first week they'd moved into the trailer park. He'd been making her dolls for years, but this time he'd given her a reason. "Give these dolls all your worries, and then you'll be free of them, like magic." Her eyes drifted to the smaller doll hanging from her keychain, little reminders that she'd once had a parent who'd loved her. She snagged the doll from the rear view and stuffed it in her bag. It would piss her off if it got stolen. She'd hang it up again when she left. She stepped from the car and locked it up, bracing herself for the visit. It's only once a month, 1 hour, 12 times a year. She could suck it up for an hour. Then she'd return to her life in Peaceful Harbor, Maryland, 45 minutes away, just far enough to allow her to pretend that this part of her life didn't exist. Her phone vibrated with a text, and she pulled it out, ready to give Jed a hard time for whatever excuse he might use to skip dinner. "Him" flashed on caller ID. She rolled her eyes, trying to keep her body from heating up from head to toe. It didn't work. It never did. She'd listed "bear hot as fuck whiskey" as "him" in her contacts in an effort to fool her mind into thinking of him in generic male form. The problem was, there was nothing generic about the 6'3", bar and auto mechanic shop owning, tattooed biker. She opened and read the text. "Bear." One word was all it took for fire to ricochet through her body like lightning. Traitorous body. The guy was relentless. He'd been acting as if she were his ever since she'd met him more than 8 months ago, when Gemma had first met her fiancé, Truman Gritt, who was Bear's best friend. The harder she'd pushed Bear away, the more determined he'd become. He'd been texting her his name for weeks, always out of the blue. It wasn't like he knew she'd changed his name in her phone. He was just being Bear. Did he really think texting his name would change her mind? There wasn't much changing necessary. She swallowed against that reality. She was not only hot for the guy, but she couldn't stop thinking about him. The hardest part was that over the past 8+ months, he'd grown on her like a third arm, exciting, reliable, and uncomfortable all at once. He was cocky and arrogant when it came to pushing himself into her life, which should have made her wary of him. But she was drawn to him like a moth to a flame, because he was also a loyal, generous friend, and funny in ways that made her wonder what it might be like to experience all those attributes tangled together in her bed. Ugh, she really needed to stop thinking about him. Her phone vibrated again with a text from Gemma. She opened it and found a picture of Bear painting. Great. Now she'd never stop thinking about him. His muscular, tattooed arm was over his head as he painted along the edge of the window. His shirt clung to his broad back, tapering down and disappearing into a pair of low-slung jeans that hugged his frustratingly hot ass. Another text rolled in. "Enjoying watching my man paint. Thought you might want to see yours." She rolled her eyes. Gemma knew she wasn't with Bear in that way. She was meeting Gemma and Truman after dinner to help paint their living room in preparation for their backyard wedding, and she knew Bear would be